Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight we're going to be talking about fall trolling because we're up against it right now, guys. Yeah. And I'm telling you, if you want a chance to catch a big one, the fall trolling night is what you need to be out there doing. We're going to go over some things tonight on what we do, where we troll, how we troll, and how we get some success doing it.
Right. If you put, if you put enough time in, and you
these are not 100 fish days.
No.
Don't
but
think
if you put enough time
to...
in. And you, of course, listen to us, right? Because that's the most important piece. Yes. But anyways, you put enough time in, you better have a taxidermy picked out. And bring your measuring tapes, because if you're going to do a replica, you're going to need to measure that bad boy up, and it's going to be cold.
Bad girl.
And you can ask Mitch about that, because he had a big, big girl. But you gotta get the measurements and be ready, because this is the time of year that you are going to pull out a giant.
So what time of year are we talking about?
Well, starting right now, pretty much. So we had a major, kind of a cold week. This weekend's gonna be cold. Next week it is gonna be going.
Yeah.
And that water temp, once you get in the 50s, it's go time. And
we're talking mid-October.
Yeah. Yep. And I really
freeze, first snow.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, these next two full moon cycles.
Yes.
Key. And everything I've read says, oh yeah, better success. They've got stats on big giant walleyes and how more of them are caught before the full moon. I totally agree. That's when I caught my biggest walleye of my life and quite a few other big ones. And it's those 3 nights leading up to the full moon.
I agree. I'm not such a big fan of the full moon as I am,
I like
right
pre,
before.
Pre.
Yeah. And I I've done well right after too, when it gets just pitch black out and, you're out there trolling and you don't have as much, as much ambient light kind of showing off the boat or your boards.
I like that few days before the full moon.
Yeah.
You got good light out there. It seems like, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but it just seems like the bite's better.
Yeah.
Is it because now that I've put myself out there fishing more because I've had success?
Right.
I don't know, but I not just me. I've talked to several, and you'll see more boats out there. You'll see people having a very successful night. Now, when I'm talking successful night, we'll go out there. We usually get rolling out there just after dark or right at dark if you want to get set up.
Right.
We're running boards. We're pulling crankbaits. But we're fishing for 3-4 hours. So let's say from 8:30 at night to midnight.
Right.
Along that. If I didn't have to work at 6 in the morning that morning, I would go till 3 because we've been out there till 3 because the bite's on and you're like, oh God, I got to get up in 2 hours for work.
Right.
But those few days are few and far between, but they do happen. But
and you just said the bite's on. Well, just to make that clear, it's not a hot jigging bite.
No, when you've caught a couple tens, you're like, oh, we could get another one.
You're looking for 4 or 5 fish a night maybe. But what's so awesome about the fall is, to me, it is your absolute best chance at catching a trophy walleye.
Absolutely.
The only time I think that there might be just as good a chance is that early spring pitching.
But pre-spawn?
But think about what you're looking at. Same temperatures, more or less. Maybe a little bit warmer now, but it's getting towards that same meeting pot. Cold.
I'm talking just pure weight, because those fish are going to be full of eggs. You want to catch a big one. But this is a great time to catch a monster fish.
And it's going to be full of just meat, because it's going to be just a big, fat
They're feeding up. So the reason I like fall better than that early spring, to target big trophy fish, they're more aggressive.
I think so, too.
They're
more active.
They definitely are.
That's what separates them from me. I've put in hours in the spring,
And you might get one out of every 3 nights out.
Yeah, it's a different deal.
It is different. But I'm just saying, if there's 2 times to catch big fish, this is definitely one.
Yes. Yes.
So big fish, what are we doing? What are presentations? We've already talked about trolling.
Yeah.
But what are we doing?
All right, so the trolling, everything is
I want to hear what Mitch. No, I'm teasing.
look at this already.
I know. Yeah. Right. We already know that you're night trolling. You're done by 9:30.
Well, I'm telling you.
I'm cold.
If you don't get them by 9:30, you might as well just go put it away because you're not any good. But that's
you.
On
YouTube. That's you.
Too bad you left at 9:30 and I caught my 13-pounder at 10 o'clock.
Anyway, keep going.
I turned into a pumpkin. So, you know, you have to... Yeah, trolling, it's all the same stuff we've talked about, right? In prior podcasts, it's the trolling rods, it's the boards. We use the glow sticks for the lights. You can use a lot of other lighting systems. It works for us. It's cheap. So that's basic. None of that changes.
Look at our stuff, too. If boards, we're talking planer boards. Yep. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, we do have a YouTube video on planer boards that we talk about. Now, it's a daytime one, but it doesn't change any. It's planer boards.
Same equipment,
same
everything.
Some people are a little bit intimidated by planer boards, but I'm telling you, you get those little soldiers out away from your boat, your planer boards, you're going to have a high chance of success.
Right. And we also do fairly well just even straight lining long off the back of the boat. And you know, you long line off the back of the boat, you do 120 feet off the back of the boat and hold that rod and you know, work
pumping
it a little. Pump it a little bit. And when we talk about baits, we're using Berkley Flicker minnows, Berkley Flicker shad. We're using different types of stick baits. All of those type of baits, some that go a little bit deeper. So we'll use the flicker minnows to go a little bit deeper, maybe that 8, 9, 10 foot range, depending on what we're seeing on the graph. But most of the time, we're using everything within the first 5 feet of the water.
That's it. Very rarely will we hit that 8, 9 foot. It's when I'm hitting the 8, 9 foot, it's usually earlier in the evening,
right,
when those fish haven't pushed up, because a lot of times you're watching a certain area and you'll see those fish raise up. Horsetooth's a perfect example, but here's the problem with that. Once they get in that 5 foot water column, all of a sudden there's no fish.
Yeah.
You're like, bullshit. There's a ton of fish. Yeah. They're all between 5 foot and the surface. Yeah. So that's when you stop seeing fish and you've seen fish in an area that you're working, it's time to go a little bit shallow. And run that 3, run that 4. Talk about your Yozuri that you were using as Yozuri when you...
Yeah, so like on my big fish, and that whole week we were hammering big fish. And we caught them on quite a few different
baits. This was in November.
Yeah, this is November. Water temp was 41 degrees.
Yep.
I mean, it was cold outside.
Yep.
1.1 miles an hour. Slow. That whole week. So slow.
High in the water column and slow.
Yeah, well, and really my big one came over 30 feet of water. And she was suspended. It didn't even mark her. Yeah, it was a Yozuri crystal minnow is what I caught her on. And I know that bait was only probably 4, maybe 5 feet down, over 30 feet of water.
Right.
And of course, it was on a board way off to the side, so I probably wouldn't have seen it on the sonar anyway. But the point was she was suspended.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one thing out here in Colorado anyway, is we get a lot of fish, especially these bigger fish, the mature walleyes in these systems.
Right.
They're under a lot of pressure. They're old, just like, you know, anywhere with walleyes. They maybe grow a little faster here in Colorado, but they're old, wise, and I think they've learned that, where I'm only going to eat shad, I'm only going to do it at night, and I'm going to go do it right around the basin where I know everything that's going on around me. And sure enough, that's where I picked her up.
Right. And that's the important part, too, is it will go all the way till the water's in the 30s. And so I know a lot of people stop fishing. And I think, wasn't it around Thanksgiving?
It was the night before Thanksgiving.
And the night before Thanksgiving. And most people have winterized their boats. And they've sealed it up. And the motor doesn't touch water. And nothing's going to happen until next spring. And I know here, and we're lucky.
You're missing out. You're really missing out.
Yeah. And here we have a couple of obstacles. One is most of our boat ramps due to invasive species inspections close around that December 1st mark. So we do fish and push it all the way up to December 1st. But plus, unlike you Midwest boys who have a bunch of moisture in the air, we're fairly dry here. So winterizing our boats, especially if they're indoors in a garage or a barn or whatever, is not as critical as it is if you're in the Midwest, because it doesn't do the damage to our motors that it does there. So we are actually lucky. We can fish all the way up to December, you know, and then we put her away for a couple months and the ramps open back up March 1st and we're off doing it again. So that's kind of how it rolls for us. But I know other places you guys put them away and it's done. But I would encourage you up until that ice comes on.
Well, see, it's all relative, because, you know, the guys that are fishing up in Minnesota, they're ahead of us as far as our cold front. Right now, our October 15th, that's not October 15th, but our October 15th is November 15th here.
Right.
So they could be out doing what we're going to be doing in the middle of November right now. This is your chance to go out and get a big one.
Right.
And you said it before. This is a 3, 4, 5 fish night. It's 1 hour is kind of how we figured it out.
Right.
And now you catch a lot of. I don't remember catching a small fish. I mean, that
most of them are on 20.
Yeah, 19, a lot of them 20. Are that 3 pounds and up.
Yep.
But you just know, I can't guarantee it. But if you can get out 8 to 10 times, you're gonna catch a pig. You're gonna catch a pig and probably multiple pigs.
Well, and every time that board goes back, the look on our faces is this is the one. Every time, because you know it could be.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it just awesome. I mean, it's just, it's that anticipation, you know, and all of a sudden, boy, that flag drops and we're off and running. And so that's really the coolest part about fishing this time of year. And we're using big baits, guys. The bigger the bait, you know, a lot of the times the better.
One of my favorites is a Husky Jerk 12.
Sure. Yep. Absolutely.
Glass perch. It works great.
Yeah. So we're talking like if you're looking at your Robes, if you're looking at your Yozuris, if you're looking at your flicker minnows, the bigger flicker minnows. The thing with flicker minnow is they do run a little bit deeper. So it's one of those things. You can still run them. They're an awesome bait, just their action. But you're just not going to put it as far behind your boat.
Exactly.
You can run it at 5 feet. Now it's just 40 feet behind your board.
Right.
Big deal.
Exactly.
Not a big deal. But you want to use some of the bigger baits. I think probably looking back on how we do that, I would say probably the smallest we're going to run is a 9. But probably more around that 11 to 13.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm not running a 9.
Yeah, I'm just saying if we ever have anything out there, that's why I just want to make sure the listeners, if your biggest baits are 9, that's what you got to run. But that's like our last choice.
Yeah, and we throw that on it if it's a really slow night and we're looking for something that might
trigger
on
whatever,
we'll put on a smaller bait just to see. Yeah,
but we're talking 11s to 13s.
Yeah.
And really slow trolling.
Slow
that
trolling.
I think 1-2 is like we're flying down the lake.
Yep.
But let's talk about most of the time when we're out there, we're basin fishing.
Yep.
We're fishing over the basins. We don't really fish a lot of the shallow waters.
Yep. And here's the deal. There are a lot of fish shallow.
Oh, absolutely.
There is.
And, you know, that was one thing I wanted to experiment more with this year is sneaking those shorelines and casting out in front of us. Because I know a lot of guys, they're hitting the shorelines, fishing from shore and catching great fish.
I just want to be honest with the listeners. We have talked about doing that over the last several years. But here's the problem. We troll the basins and we're catching fish. So it's hard to be leave fish to find fish, right?
Yep.
So others are doing it.
Right.
So we need to just say, screw it. We're taking this week and we're doing it because it might be better. So if that's your game and you're doing that, keep the success. But the thing is, you need to get out on the water this time of year.
And you run them so high. I mean, you're running everything so high that it is nothing to just swing in, throw the board
over
9 feet, 5 feet of water, throw the boards up in there and then bring them back down and go out back out towards the basin and then go back in. Because like you said, it's a one fish an hour kind of thing.
Yep.
There's a lot of time in there where you can go swing it up, bring it down, swing it up. The problem is like you said, we know the big girls are out there trolling the basin. We know they're out there looking for those suspended shad. Mm-hmm. So it's real hard to go run your boards up in 5 feet of water hoping you have one, you know, getting up there at night looking for those shad, because there are so much food out suspended in that basin that it's tough to go up and fish that shallower water.
A little bit things different too. And tell me what you guys think of this, because I don't think we've had this conversation. A lot of times in the spring, you're looking for that late over, held over hatch, right, of bait fish. So in the shallows, because it's the first thing to warm up, you're looking for those bait fish in the shallows. We do a lot of shallow fishing at night trolling.
Right.
In the fall, we're not really fishing the balls of bait fish. I'm not. I'm fishing more of the basin, knowing that they're out there. I'm not looking for the balls of bait fish.
But it's out there. They're out there. You know
what I'm not. Yeah. I'm not actively searching for them like I am in the spring when I'm looking for a warmer water temp.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and that's the other thing.
You guys do the same or no?
I don't know. Water in the basin is going to be more stable. So the water up closer to shore is going to fluctuate with the daytime temperatures, all right? So if you get a nice warm day that's 52 degrees, it's going to be warmer up there in the shallow. So you might, that may be where you troll right as you're getting into dark. But after it goes to dark, I'm heading out towards the basin. Because that water temperature, that's going to be what your graph is saying. It's going to be that 38, 41 degrees, whatever. And it's going to stay that the whole night we're out there.
Yeah.
It's not going to move. That 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet of water, that's going to drop as the night goes. And I think the fish push out. I think they're still 4 or 5 feet, you know, as far as depth, but they're out over the basin mm-hmm. instead of 4 or 5 feet up along the shore.
Yeah, I think because your water fluctuation of temperature is so drastic at night. In the summer, it doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
But
no, and but in the springtime, what do? We go find the absolute warmest water we can find the second we get on the water. And in the springtime, we do much better going out 2 hours before dark. Mm-hmm. And fishing up to dark and a couple hours after dark. I mean, and let's be honest, you guys tease me about 9:30, but we all know by 9:30 or 10 o'clock, if we haven't gotten into good fish in the springtime, we're off.
You're
because
right.
Because it's just...
And we've only been on the water an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah.
In the fall.
Yeah, in the fall, you've just gotten out there because they will go later into the night. But I think that has to do with temperature and fluctuation. And
So what you guys need to do, one thing you really need to do is talk to your boss... And say, I'm not coming in at 7. I'm coming in at 9, so you can do that. That's probably one of the most things that anybody's going to take from this is, I got to go into work later the next day.
Yep. Yeah.
Because the bite is late, and it can be good. You know, it's not, like I said, the 100 fish day, but you got a chance to catch some pigs.
Yep, you do. And that's the other thing, too, is you can get into those nights where you catch 20 fish.
So, hey, I wanted to talk to you guys about this.
Was I done?
No.
Mitch, do you feel like you're getting bullied? I feel like I'm getting bullied.
I don't feel like I'm getting bullied.
So tell me this, because I don't want to forget. So, night trolling in the fall, do you guys run your kicker or do you run a trolling motor? What do you think?
You mean the electric?
Yeah. Or your kicker motor?
No, I run kicker all the time.
When you're at 1-1.
Guess what? The old tracker doesn't have a camera, so I'm rolling with my trolling motor.
With your electric, yeah.
So I don't know if you've had different success. It's weird because when I go out there, I don't know what the hell I'm doing because sometimes I run the kicker, sometimes I don't. Usually if there's a little bit of wind, I run the kicker.
Yeah.
If it's pretty calm, I run the trolling motor. But I haven't noticed a difference in success rate.
Right.
But there's guys that talk about the one's better than the other. I don't know what you guys think.
I got to tell you, in the last couple of years, I have the 15 HO Evinrude. And this is a big shout out to Evinrude. So all you Mercury guys, take a breath for a minute.
I got a Mercury.
He's got a Mercury. Mitch has got a Mercury. But I have the Evinrudes, which I love. And I will tell you right now, this motor, even at 15 horsepower, I can bring it all the way down with the adjustment, the RPM adjustment on the lever. It is a tiller motor, and I can get it down to about 0.08 by itself. And so when I run it like that, it is, I use it all summer. I do it with bottom bouncers. I use it all summer, and I do it with, in windy conditions, if we're jigging, I run that kicker all the time because I can adjust it so much.
Well, and I'll tell you what, my kicker motor that I have is a Mercury, and it's at 8 horsepower, and I got a 19-foot tracker motor, right? It's deep V, and I was really concerned. This is getting a little bit off topic, but it talks about trolling. That should I get the 9.9 or the 8? I ended up going with the 8 because a lot of guys said that's just fine.
And it was cheaper.
And it is cheaper. And the eight does work really, really well.
And it did what you
needed. But what made the difference on it is a Trollmaster.
Trollmaster, yeah.
It's unbelievable. If you have one, like I'm looking at your Evinrude right here, and he has got the knockdown switch on it to where it's very minute adjustments.
Right.
My Mercury doesn't have that. It's the handle where you're like trying to crank it down a 16th of an inch, and it goes a quarter, and all of a sudden you drop way down.
Right.
But that's the problem with what I have. But we put on several years ago a Trollmaster, and they got Trollmaster 2s and all that, but it is the fine-tune adjustment. I mean, it is unbelievable.
But that's what you have to have.
Yep.
And I got to tell you guys,
both controls are amazing.
Well, and I think they're more quiet. I think they're more quiet than the electrics. If you guys really want to see something kind of crazy, and you have to do it with somebody you trust because you don't get ran over.
Go under it. Listen to it.
Go under. Jump off the side of the boat in the summertime. Get underneath and say, hit the kicker. The kicker sounds like bubbles. The electric motor is a high-pitched squeal, and you can hear it every time. And so I use both because I use my electric to steer, but I have it knocked down as low as I can get away with just to be able to move the boat. And because it's such a finer adjustment using the electric to turn than it is the tiller.
So that's really what I was wanting to get into this. And we'll wrap it up here in a minute because boat control is key on this. But really, absolutely, speed control. So that's why I bring up the kicker versus the trolling motor, right, because we use both.
Yep.
We put the kicker motor down, yep, to where we're running at 0.9.
Yep.
And then I drop my trolling motor down to kick us up to 0.2. And so I'm like at a setting two on my trolling motor, but it gives me enough to be able to drive it wherever I want. Yep. So,
and I do that in the summertime too. You know, I know people could be thinking, well, you know, if they're shallow fish or in the first 5 feet of the water column, I will troll, you know, spinners on inline weights through the tops of weeds, and they're in that first foot and a half of the water column, and I'll use my kicker motor to do it, and I'll go .08, and I'll use the electric, and I'll bump it up to maybe .09, maybe right around that, and go through those weeds.
Just so you can
and
steer.
And it doesn't mess with the fish one bit. They will come up and almost hit it in the wash of the motor. Mm-hmm. So that is the interesting part. So if you guys are gonna, I also do it because it's power. You don't have to worry about running out of batteries. You don't have to worry about getting stuck out there in the middle of the night. That kicker, especially that Evinrude kicker, will go forever.
Yeah, Evinrude.
Did everybody hear that? Especially that Evinrude.
Yeah, mine does just fine.
Yes.
The Evinrude kicker attached to the Ranger.
Hey, so real quick, a couple things about night fishing. Because believe me, years ago when we first started doing it,
None of us have fancy stuff.
And it can be a mess.
Yes.
You know, so get squared away. You know, get your boat cleaned up. Keep organized. Yep. Get the stuff out of the way. Because at night, you know, everything.
Get it ready while there's light out.
Yeah, get it ready. Headlamps. You know, make sure everybody in the boat has a headlamp. And don't stare your buddy in the face and blind him. Which that'll happen.
Right. It's going to happen anyway.
You know? And be patient. So, you know, nighttime, it is safety. You know, not that I'm some big safety freak or not. But we're talking hypothermic.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Get bundled up.
You know, so be safe, be smart, but don't be scared to get out there. Go do it. It is primo, and it will give you one of the best opportunities, yep, at a big fish.
Yeah. Yep. If you want to catch you want a chance at a monster, this is the time to do it.
Yep.
So, hey, we're going to wrap it up. I hope you enjoyed this series on, night trolling in the fall, because it is a great time to get out there and do it. We have a ton of podcasts out there. We have a lot of requests for different ones. This one came at us from a listener, so we wanted to talk about it. But follow us on All Eyes on Fishing. Or if you have questions, email us at alleyesonfishing@gmail.com. Or give us a shout out on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. So from all of us at All Eyes on Fishing, have a great night.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Join us again next time as we discuss all of your favorite topics. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And check out our webpage and YouTube channel at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, helping you to fish the next level.